This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. Among the most tangible victories for the Black Lives Matter movement this year was the repeal of New York State Statute 50A, which finally enables the public to scrutinize thousands of citizen complaints against the police. In response, New York City's police unions joined a suit to block wholesale release of such data, especially a trove of 81,000 records already in the hands of the New York Civil Liberties Union. Last week, a federal judge ordered NYCLU to keep that data securely out of the public eye, at least for now. Well, so much for that. This past Sunday, the digital news outlet ProPublica released a similar database, which describes in limited detail thousands of allegations made against about 1 in 9 NYPD officers. ProPublica described the database as, quote, an unprecedented picture of civilians' complaints of abuse by NYPD officers, as well as the limits of the current system that's supposed to hold officers accountable. And according to ProPublica Deputy Managing Editor Eric Umansky, there is much more to come. For Umansky, the story began last Halloween.
My wife and 6-year-old daughter saw a police car going the wrong way down the street and hit a kid. The kid then popped up, ran away, and the police turned their attention to a few other kids. The only connection between the kid who was hit and the other kids seemed to be that they were all Black. My wife took some photos of it, and I ended up following what seemed to be a very upsetting case of police potentially profiling some young Black boys. As I was reporting that story, something monumental happened in New York.
Change is coming to police departments across the state with the passage of a new bill in Albany, the repeal of 50A, which will make public the disciplinary records of officers statewide.
Wait, we could really have the names? And gee, how quickly could we get the names? I can actually put in a public records request and ask for not just the names of the officers who were involved in this case, but thousands of officers. So I put it in, and lo and behold, a week later, I get a very large Excel file back.
And you are pinching yourself because it seemed that you had found the holy grail of police accountability. But a federal judge was ruling on how public this newly public information could really be.
Correct. There was a lawsuit that police unions had brought that had said it would endanger police to put out this information. The federal judge filed this order that said you can't, the city can't, and the NYCLU can't disclose the information. We had nothing to do with the lawsuit. We also had a very good portion of that information. We had been working to put it out, and we put it out. So there was a hearing on Tuesday. The judge noted ProPublica's release of the data and said to the union lawyers, "How do you want me to put that genie back in the bottle?" Basically, the lawyers didn't have a good answer for that, and the judge ruled tentatively the other organizations could go ahead and release the data if the unions didn't file an appeal, which I now believe the unions have filed an appeal, and therefore the information isn't out.
All right. Now, the main argument for that injunction was, as we said, that the repeal of 50A would result in an indiscriminate data dump that would soil reputations of any cop who's ever had a complaint filed against him or her. But ProPublica, at least, didn't just turn on a fire hose, right? You didn't publish everything.
We basically only publish the most substantive complaints, which amount to the complaints against 4,000 officers of the 36,000-member NYPD force. The majority of police in New York City have had either few or no complaints against them. And then on the flip side, though, which you see, is a disproportionate number of police who've had many, many complaints against them.
Earlier this week, you and your ProPublica colleagues reported on how police departments across the country are handling even the most obvious cases of misconduct during the past 2 months of protests, and how the disciplinary processes, such as they are, may be wanting. To this point, what is the takeaway?
We looked at what were the sort of most clearly problematic instances of police violence against civilians we could find during the protests, where it was unprovoked and we had enough video that it seemed to be quite clear. And we don't know all the details of every case. And we asked police departments, what's the status of this? Have you investigated? What's an outcome of an investigation? Has there been any discipline? The vast majority of those cases we looked at, the answer was basically the hand. They wouldn't tell us. They wouldn't tell us the names of the officers. They wouldn't tell us if any discipline. They wouldn't tell us if they were still on the street or not. They just mostly wouldn't tell us anything. They said mostly that it's pending investigation.
I want to pull back a bit. We in this country have a military that is under civilian control, and we're very proud of that. The model broadly extends to our municipal police departments and the leadership structure that puts a civilian mayor or council or commissioner in charge of them, and presumably, therefore, accountability to elected officials. But in practice, does that accountability really exist? And if not, are elected officials, who does influence what we know and do not know about police abuse?
I think that is fundamentally the issue here, and it's something that I only slowly came to realize because it seems so counterintuitive in the United States. The police, yes, on paper, they obviously report to mayors and other civilian leaders. In practice, they often simply police themselves, and that the mechanisms for accountability are simply not in place to hold them accountable outside of how they hold themselves accountable. And how they hold themselves accountable is often, as we've seen in New York, in incredibly opaque ways, incredibly limited ways, and that's not limited to New York.
When 50A was repealed, did all of the people who you had been accustomed to telling you no suddenly start providing you documents left and right because they were delighted to be free to do so? Has your relationship with these guardians of the data, has it changed?
They provided data that the law was changed to allow them to provide. And, you know, I think, frankly, one of the things that the unions were quite upset and stunned about is just how responsive the agency was. In other words, it turns out here's an agency that is actually responds to FOIA requests and does so in a timely manner. People aren't used to that. But the truth is, the police unions are fighting quite hard. You know, as we're speaking now, there's still a restraining order in effect. So, no, we are not quite yet in the information and transparency nirvana. We may have a lot of data around us. I wouldn't say we're yet swimming in it.
Eric, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Eric Umansky is a deputy managing editor for ProPublica. On Thursday morning, a federal appellate court judge effectively prolonged the order restraining the New York Civil Liberties Union from publishing police misconduct records.